Welcome to the Fetish Show.
The Fetish Show explores kinky sex, adult entertainment, relationships, and BDSM lifestyle. Your hosts are fetish photographer and BDSM mentor, Dirk Hooper. He is joined by professional dominatrix and fetish model, Princess Zoe. And now, here's Dirk and Zoe.
I think you know what's gonna happen tonight.
Welcome to the Fetish Show. My name is Dirk Hooper, and I am joined, as always, by the piquant Princess Zoe. How are you doing, Zoe?
I'm doing great. Say that word again.
Piquant.
What?
It means pleasantly stimulating.
Wow. We're not just the Fetish Show. We're also like the dictionary.
It's like we're kind of like your word of the day.
Say that again.
Piquant.
Piquant. Piquant. Of course, I wouldn't have known that. Wow. Thank you for
that. Comes from my love of, I love words.
Do you know?
Yeah. They used to call me thesaurus lad.
Did you get your ass kicked in school or something?
No one kicked my
Come
ass.
Come here, thesaurus lad.
I'm like the Hulk.
Oh, okay.
No one's kicking my ass.
Well, you could just beat him up with words.
You're damn right. I can beat them physically and intellectually.
Well, I can tell you one thing I know for sure. You can run your mouth enough to somebody will kick your ass. So use your words wisely.
Well, speaking of using your words wisely, Princess Zoe, why don't you tell us what's coming up next?
Why don't I do that? I was just thinking I should do that. Okay, what's coming up on this episode is an interview with Princess Zoe. What? That's me. Bondage brings...
you act like you're surprised.
Well, I am.
You're going to be very interested in that particular segment.
I'm going to pay attention to that.
That's good.
Bondage brings bucks for women's shelter. Kinky Valentine's Day fun turns criminal. Holy shit. The Wheel of Fetish does not talk about cock.
Hard to believe.
Man.
Hard to believe.
That's your fault.
I thought maybe about informing the press about that, that we were actually going to be doing a Wheel of Fetish that's not talking about
cock. Well, I'm sorry. I'm pro-dom, and, you know, cock is kind of like, I don't just go around talking about cunt. I'm talking about cock.
I called Brian Williams on NBC. I told him about it. I've informed the USA Today.
They let you say cock? On USA Today?
Yes.
So now you're lying.
They insisted that I say
you're
cock.
You're going to go to hell. You're lying. They're just saying, you better say cock. We discuss vanilla versus kink life in the Whipping Post segment. And we interview the founder of Skin 2 magazine, Tim Woodward. That is going to be a hooked up interview
that
right there.
That is a great interview. I can't wait to talk about that. And I can't wait for you guys to hear it.
Yes, me too.
All right. So... what we're going to talk about first is an interview with Princess Zoe.
Oh, my God.
See, we got right on that.
What? I'm being interviewed? You didn't have my people call your people. Since we are.
We have the same people.
I know. What the hell?
You were on Fix Magazine's website.
That's your fault.
With an extensive interview there.
I'm in the magazine.
You are there.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's really it's a serious, long interview. They ask you about both fetish modeling and about professional domination and just kind of what you're into.
Yeah. They have a pretty extensive interview. I mean, they let you really give a lot of information if you want to or not. And you actually hooked me up with that. I think you submitted the inquiry.
Fix Magazine's been around for a while. They have... interviews with fetish models and with dominatrix, which you're both of those things.
And pinup.
They have, models in general and, you know, some interesting things. It just seemed like a really good fit for you. And so, yeah, I contacted them and see if they were interested in an interview. And sure enough, they were.
And they took your photos that you've taken of me and published
them. A lot of photos on that. I would give you the address for the deal, but it's kind of long and it's not easy to say. So,
well, you can Google the magazine and it'll come up, I believe.
Right. I mean, it's fixmagazine.com if you just want to go to their site. But if you want to see the interview with Princess Zoe, then please go to thefetishshow.com and click on this particular episode, and you will see the link right straight to your interview.
It's writing from my heart.
Wow, it's right straight from your heart.
Yes.
Very nice. Also, we're going to talk about, I had a profile on a website myself. Mm-hmm. It was called Bizarre Buzz. Mm-hmm. The website's Bizarre Buzz, and it was a profile of me. It had some of my photos. It had some information about me, and I sure do appreciate them doing that. Mm-hmm. I would give you the big, long address for that, but it's about 4 miles long.
Exactly. So, what can they kind of talk about there in that interview or that?
It's just a profile.
Okay.
Deal. I mean, it just tells kind of who I am and what I'm doing.
Who
it's
are
just
you,
very
Dirk?
Basic. And then has some photos if you want to see that.
Yeah. Are you naked?
It's not photos of me. No one wants to see photos of me.
What the hell?
It's photos that I've taken of models, which people do want to see.
Well, you know, you could be like a real artist there, you know, and take a picture of yourself.
It's not really my thing.
You know, you can like there are some people, like paint yourself, whatever.
There are some people who make a whole career. Nan Golden, for example, is a photographer who's well known for doing portrait photography of herself and her friends, her goofy friends. Her hot, goofy friends.
Cool.
But that's not me.
I'm not very good at taking pictures of myself.
Not so much. It's not easy to take pictures of yourself.
Fuck no. You got to remember to turn the little thing on the cell phone camera like around the other way.
I do know someone named Dame LeBeau who's one of the Toxic Goddess models, and she has a Tumblr page where it's all self-portrait stuff, and it's awesome. It's really cool.
Did she take it herself?
She takes, I mean, every, she does it for a while there. She was doing one a day.
Well, I just like the ones that don't have the picture in the picture mm-hmm. of them holding the phone or the camera.
No. These are professional, I mean, she's a photographer. These right. are professional quality photos. They're excellent, as a matter of fact. I will, if you will help me remember, I will put up a link to her Tumblr right. page so you can see that too uh-huh. since I mentioned it. Next, I want to make a statement.
What?
My statement is that I have been making panties wet since 2012.
Well, stop it. Since 2012?
I think maybe I've made panties wet before now, but now it's official.
Really?
It's official.
What the hell are you talking about?
Well, I have a new submissive girl who is named Eve. And she has told me that every time she hears me on the show that I make her panties wet.
Wow, that's interesting.
So if she's listening to this show right now, I'm making her panties wet.
Well, you know what would be even better? If you could make her pussy wet instead of her panties.
Well, I assume that's where it's coming
she
from.
She could be sitting in a puddle.
Unless it's from like an outside source.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, that's true. She could be in the rain. She could be listening to us in the rain.
That's right. Every time your voice comes on, like something happens where it just triggers something and then like some water comes out, you know.
Right. She could be listening yeah. while she's in the shower.
That's right. Yeah.
Interesting.
She needs to clarify that.
You think so? Maybe she'll call in and clarify that for us.
I think so. I want some clarification.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So anyway.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you. She's deliciously submissive.
Wow.
And she's gorgeous. She's a model.
Wow.
And we're having a lot of fun. She's new to this, so I get to introduce a lot of stuff to her.
Well, I think your voice is probably pretty recognizable. You know, I've been places before and people have come up to me at different events. Oh, I recognize your voice from down the hall. I'm like, shit, am I talking that loud?
The answer to that is yes.
So I'm sure they recognize your voice.
Princess Zoe, I'm sure you've been making panties wet too for a while.
I don't think so.
Of some of your submissive boys.
Noel, yeah, that, yeah, but as far as girls, no. I'm trying to
I
be,
don't know.
I try to be gay, but I'm not very good at it. I don't know if you're trying to fuck a chick lately, but it's not a very easy thing to do.
Oh, well, yeah, it's like Hellraiser. It's like the lamenting cube.
Well, it's like they sit around, everyone waits for the other one to make the first move, and then if you do, then you got to play coy, like, you know.
Like, you don't want to lose face, or what's the issue?
No, I'm like, dude, do you want to fuck or not?
Someone's got to play the guy in that relationship, and you know, make the moves, right?
Well, then, but then she has to play hard to get a little bit. So I fuck all that game shit.
Hard to get is way overrated.
Listen, you're a lesbian. That's why. Oh,
fuck
okay.
that shit. That's why you have BDSM relationships where all that shit's established from ground zero.
That's
You get through all that fucking coy, you know, horse shit.
Don't play that with me, bitch.
You get right down to take your clothes off and let's get it on.
You're cocky today. What's up with you?
So our next subject I want to mention, because we were talking about this in one of our meetings the other day, is iTunes.
What?
We want everyone to get on iTunes.
Yes, and it's fucking hard. So just know that in advance. It's kind of hard.
It is hard. I'm going to make a link to iTunes on this episode. Again, go to thefetishshow.com. This is episode 27. And you can click through to that straight to iTunes where we're going to be at. But
it's not necessarily hard. It's just a little complicated. You got to fill out this thing and go to here and do
I mean, what they want you to do is, if you're not hooked into Apple, Apple wants to get you in their system. So if you're not already in there, it is complicated. But we're asking for you to
do it
to
anyway.
Consider going there and helping us out a little bit by subscribing. Yeah. Well, tell them. You're the dominatrix. Why don't you tell them what you want them to do?
Go to iTunes. Go through this process that will probably piss you off a little bit. And get an Apple or an iTunes account. And go to The Fetish Show and download it and listen to
subscribe. What we really want you to do is subscribe.
Well, then why don't you tell me what it is I should say then, Derek? Shit.
We would like for you to comment on the episode. We have some nice comments. And we've got some great ratings, actually. But what we really need is for people to subscribe to it as well.
Y'all do that.
All right, that's our intro. Up next is the Fetish Show News.
I'm Dirk Hooper, and you are listening to your dominant source for fetish news, kinky events, interviews, advice, and reviews. This is The Fetish Show.
All right, first up tonight on The Fetish Show News from the Yale Daily News. Roughly 40 people filled a room in Lindsley Chittenden Hall to hear clinical sexologist Charlie Ferrer and two representatives of the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom, Judy Guerin and Richard Cunningham, discuss issues related to BDSM, including safe practices and attributes of what they call the BDSM community. The panelists said people often consider BDSM to be illegal, violent, and impersonal, but argued that these are misconceptions and that BDSM can be part of a healthy relationship. Ferrer, who has written several books on sex, explained that BDSM is about people exploring their bodies and personal preferences, not just about sex. She said many people in the BDSM community do not interact sexually, adding that dominance and submission can be seen as normal components of relationships. She said, it's not domestic violence. In BDSM, you are sharing yourself with someone else, and they care about you. Guerin, a former executive director of the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom, a group that advocates for adult privacy rights, said BDSM is about comfort with your own body. Cunningham, the group's legal consultant, said BDSM is not a hidden practice and that the community is open to everyone. Cunningham said BDSM community values consensuality and it values consensuality, and Ferrer added that BDSM is, quote, a lot about respect.
So you said Richard Cunningham? Wasn't he like the father on Happy Days?
was that? Well, Richie Cunningham, I believe that was the son, wasn't it?
I don't know.
What was his dad's name? Anyone?
No, I don't know.
Howard?
Howard.
His name was Howard?
No.
I'm glad someone
here knows Fonzie.
Holy cow. Anyway, that's from Yale. I mean, it's pretty cool that they had that panel at Yale, right?
That is cool. And this, the organization that you mentioned.
National Coalition for Sexual Freedom.
We're both members.
We are members of that.
Yes. And if you don't know who they are, please look them up and learn for yourself.
We put our money where our mouth is there.
Yes, we did. And
they're a good organization.
Yes. BDSM has absolutely nothing to do with domestic violence or assault or anything like that. So I just want to say that.
Yeah, that's good. From the Squamish Chief. Squamish Chief is a newspaper.
Okay.
That's a lovely paper, too. It's really good.
Okay.
I like their sports section. Anyway, it's in Canada. At 8 a.m. on Saturday, Eric Armour was helping transform the Howe Sound Inn and Brewing Company into a haven for all things fairy tale. Later that evening, when the doors opened to the 8th annual James Bondage fetish-themed fundraiser party for the Howe Sound Women's Center, Armour was on stilts welcoming guests.
It's quite a mouthful there.
Yes, it is. With everyone from the Big Bad Wolf to Snow White in attendance, the Deviant Fairy Tale Night sold out. Partygoers came from throughout the sea to sky corridor, with one ticket holder flying in from Ontario for a four-day stint focusing on the big night, Armour said. By 4 a.m., the event had raised approximately $5,000 for women for the Women's Center.
That's quite a mouthful there, too.
Yeah. The center sees more than 3,000 women through its door every year. Executive Director Sheila Allen told the chief the money will go towards the Women's Center's drop-in service in Squamish.
There's a lot of groups that do things for battered women's shelters and for, you know, domestic violence groups and things like that. So I think that's cool.
I think it is, too. $5,000, that's a pretty good deal. Yeah. Not bad. The UK Register gives us a story that would make a great Guy Ritchie film. A card forger forced would-be gang members to take part in group sex sessions as part of an initiation ceremony designed to weed out undercover cops, according to a detective.
I don't know that that was the real reason.
Well, this guy was kinky. Vikas Yadev, an Indian national resident in Athens, Georgia, used chat rooms frequented by sadomasochists to recruit would-be cyber crooks before staging videotaped sex sessions he participated in as both performer and producer. Quote, anyone who wanted in with Yadev would have to have three-way sex, either with other men or women, but Vikas had to be involved, and he would record it all and save the recordings so that he could watch it on his big flat-screen TV, police detective Beverly Russell told the Athens Banner-Herald. Yadev started capturing pins and card details to create counterfeit cards in order to supplement his income as a liquor store clerk. Using the clone cards, he bought high-priced ticket items such as flat-screen TVs, Wired reports. The scam continued for about 3 years before a tip-off from an alert store manager led to his arrest outside a Walmart in Mississippi back in August of 2008. Yadev was charged with credit card fraud and spent a year in prison prior to his deportation in 2010.
I missed something. Okay, it's as an initiation ceremony to what?
Well, what he was doing is if he was going to have partners in his criminal scheme to get these...
So you wanted to be his partner in crime?
Yes, because he knew that police officers were not going to film like three-way sex acts, right?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a way to really trust somebody.
Man, it's a good routine all the way around,
have three-way
right?
sex, and so I know.
Yeah, and he has to be involved.
Turn off the 5-0.
How about that?
That's just... whatever.
From the Winnipeg Press, the Winnipeg Free Press, a Winnipeg housewife who claims she opened a brothel to provide a safe haven for sex trade workers has been spared a jail sentence. The 48-year-old married mother of two teens, known to her customers as Sinful Cindy, spent years working as a leather-clad dominatrix out of her cozy two-story Wolseley home. She pleaded guilty last year to the rare charge of keeping a common body house. Similar charges against her husband were dropped as part of the plea deal. Justice officials say that the facts of the case make it a one-of-a-kind. Her real name is under a court-ordered publication ban to protect her children. The woman returned to court for sentencing Wednesday and was given 3 years of probation and a $2,000 fine. The Crown had been seeking a jail term, but it's conceded it could be served conditionally in the community. Queen's Bench Justice Deborah McCauley said she believed the women's motives were genuine, especially since Canadian prostitution laws are very much a source of ongoing debate and controversy. Defense lawyer Evan Reutenberg told court his client firmly believed she was providing a safe alternative for young people who wanted to work in the sex trade, something she herself had dreamed about since she was a teenager. By keeping them off the streets and screening all clients, The woman remains adamant she wasn't harming anyone. All right, well, from the San Francisco Chronicle, I love this story. It wasn't your usual Valentine's Day date. The 31-year-old Nicholas Harbor and 26-year-old Stephanie Pelsner of Portland, Oregon, decided to dispense with the candlelit dinner, the flowers and the chocolates, and instead take a walk on the wild side, or to be precise, a ride on the wild side, in a Subaru Legacy. With Pelsner in the back seat, naked, tied up, and her mouth covered with duct tape, the kinky couple parked at New Seasons Market in the city, where a passerby made the understandable error of mistaking foreplay for a kidnapping in progress.
Wow.
The responsible citizen took down the plate and phoned the authorities. Naturally, police suspected sexual assault or worse. An alert was issued, and eventually 9 cruisers took off in pursuit. At 12:56 p.m., police returned to the address of the registered car owner, spotted the Subaru with Pelsner still naked and bound in the back. Harbor told officers that they were doing some Valentine's Day role-playing, according to the police report. Officers confirmed the story with Pelsner, who said she was a willing participant. Even so, police were not amused about the wild goose chase. They decided to arrest the pair for disorderly conduct in the second degree. This couple was given community service for their Valentine's Day excitement.
Well, they kind of had that coming. Then this is going to play right into what we're going to talk about later on.
It absolutely
is. As far as, you know, the separation of things.
And it also plays into something we've talked about before, which is not involving the community in your silliness.
Well, they should have had a better plan for, you know, what if someone sees you in the back naked, bound with, you know, duct taped.
Right.
You know, don't go to Walmart like that.
Well, don't run from the police.
Exactly. You might. Maybe that was part of their role playing there.
Yeah, wow.
I don't know.
Not so good.
Yeah, that's not wise.
All right. Well, finally, we have some sad news from X-Biz Newswire. Erotic filmmaker Zalman King has died. Best known for his films 9½ Weeks, Red Shoe Diaries, and Wild Orchid, the producer, writer, director died after a six-year battle with cancer. He was 70 years old.
9½ Weeks was a hooked up movie. I remember.
Yeah.
That.
Oh, yeah, that was so good. Wow. He did the Red Shoe Diaries. I love the Red Shoe Diaries. That was hosted by David Duchovny. I got a kick out of those things. That was really good. Anyway, I'm sorry to hear that Zalman King has passed on. He was actually working on a film. It's called Kamikaze Love, and it's in post-production right now. So he will have one more film come out.
Wow.
All right. And that's going to do it for the Fetish Show News.
And now it's time for
Wheel of Fetish.
Hi, this is Princess Zoe, and you're listening to The Wheel of Fetish. And this evening, we're going to talk about a really interesting fetish, I'm sure, because we have several that we could choose from, which would be like, I don't know. There are so many. There are
paraphilias.
A lot. There are a lot.
There's 700 of them.
Are you sure?
There may be 10,000 of them.
There might be more. So,
for some reason, the wheel always lands on something to do with cock.
Well, that's good. That's
every
good.
Time.
Well, because see, it's a wheel, and you get to put like the, you know, you get to have only so many fetishes that you can choose from on there. So
right. She picks the 699 that have to do with the cock.
Well, why not? Something I know about.
Right.
Maybe.
Right. I got you.
So I hope you're excited about this segment. So.
I am excited. I think I just saw Vanna White stroll by in like a leather thong.
Me too. In your head.
Since we're on a game show.
That's right. Well, all right. Well, Vanilla, can you roll the wheel there? Spin the wheel. There we go.
That's Vanilla Wilson, by the way.
Yes.
Our engineer.
He's rolling the wheel, as I think.
He is.
Spinning it.
He does a great job of that.
And it's going to land on, forced by. Oh, no. Oh, okay. No. It looks like it's going to be queening. The fetish of queening. That's what we're going to talk
about.
Very
good.
Yes.
Also, not about the cock.
Also known as face sitting, Dirk. Queening, face sitting is kind of one of the same.
Right.
And it's a sexual practice in which one partner sits on or over the other's face, typically to allow or force oral, genital, or oral anal contact. What do you think about that? someone sit on the other one's face.
I think I may be in on this one.
So she plants her pussy on his face.
Right.
Basically, break it down.
That's all right.
So in as far as with BDSM, it can involve dominance and submission, obviously. And so it can be intense humiliation. It can be that too.
Right, sure.
What do you have to say about queening?
I like queening. I think I can sign in on this one.
You think so?
I can sign off.
So you want someone to sit on your face like that?
I'm not against it.
Does that make you feel submissive?
It depends on the situation and what you're doing. But yeah, I think I can sign in on this one.
And they have furniture for this too.
Of course they do.
You know, like
how could you not?
Smother box, I guess, and you can have like other little throne-ish kind of little,
right?
You know, whatever.
Yeah, with no seat.
Yeah, you just sit on it. I guess if you get tired of sitting, if you're going to be there a while, you might need some support to hold you up.
Of course.
You know. So, anyway, so Dirk's interested in queening. Anybody out there that wants to queen him, maybe give him a call. And that's pretty much it. I think we covered pretty much all that I have to say about it anyway.
Well, does anyone else have anything to say about queening? Get in touch with us. info@thefetishshow.com. We want to hear your queening stories. How about that?
Yes, stories about it.
Yeah. I want to hear some queening stories. From around the world.
Let's see if you get any offers.
Is that it?
That's it.
All right. That's gonna wrap us up for this particular segment of Wheel of Fetish.
The Fetish Show has thousands of kinky adult listeners and is growing with every episode. If you'd like to reach a highly targeted audience of BDSM lifestylers and curious sexual adventurers, then contact our advertising team at info@thefetishshow.com.
The Fetish Show Toy Box.
All right, welcome to the Toy Box. This is our first time that we've done this here. But on this occasion, we're actually doing a follow-up to an earlier episode. I think it's maybe two episodes ago, which I want to say is maybe 25 or 24. I'm not sure.
Well, the whole point is about that, Dirk, is this is a review of a product. We asked our guest. They were contestants on the Wheel of Fetish.
Right.
We asked them to take home this product and to test it personally and to come back and to tell us about it.
Right.
So that's what we're going to do now. And it's an egg. It's an egg masturbator.
It's called the Tinga egg.
Tinga egg.
And this one in particular is called the Easy Beat.
I'm not.
It's the lover's egg because it's got a.
Hearts in it.
It's got hearts in it.
I mean, I don't really know how to be descriptive of this except to say it's kind of like, I don't know what to say. It's a piece of stretchy rubber that you put over your dick, and it comes with some lube, and
right. Well, anyway,
does it? Okay, well, so we have our guest.
Anyway, what it is it's a silicone based product, and it has little hearts on the inside of it, and you put some lubrication on the inside of it.
And you jack off.
And on the outside, and you use it to jack off with, and it's quite fantastic.
And so we have our guests that were here with us last time.
Right, and we asked them to go ahead and help us out on some product testing there. And so we're going to introduce, we have Vanilla Wilson. You want to say something?
Hello.
And we have Kilt Guy.
I am so vanilla.
Hello.
Yes, we do, so. I was going to say that first. I thought of it first, but anyway, it's okay. So.
You were going to misintroduce Kilt Guy as Kilt Man or Kilt.
You don't know.
Kilt Fella.
You can't assume anything.
Kiltster.
Kilt Schmelkus, the Kilt Kiltness.
You can't assume stuff,
Duke Kiltness.
Man, there's too many penises in here ganging up on me. So tell me, gentlemen. Did this stay on good? I mean, like, when you put it on, Kiltster, did it stay on well?
Yeah, it stays on very well. It doesn't come off, actually. It's, well, like you said, it's pretty tight.
I didn't say that, but thank you for elaborating.
No, you said that it was small.
Oh, well, yes. How did it fit for you, Vanilla?
I found it very awkward.
You found
very
it awkward?
Difficult.
Well, difficult?
Yes.
Maybe you need some instruction.
I got it on. I could use it. It was just very. It was very small and.
Do you have a large dick?
I will not go into that.
Why?
Because I cannot judge. It's been my stuff as long as I've known. I can't judge whether it's.
You know whether or not it's big.
I know that it's mine.
Some girls, if you got a big dick, some girls told you at some point, you just think, you got a big dick.
No one has ever complained.
That's vague.
Wow.
I think we're gonna have to investigate that. Okay, so it was hard for it to stay on your dick.
It wasn't difficult to stay on. I could get it over the head, and I was pretty much done.
I don't know what to say about that, Dirk. So I don't know what to say. What do you think about that, Kilt?
Wow. I'm impressed.
So how long did it take for it was operational, or did it work? You know, just a long time, or just...
Well, for me personally, being that I haven't even felt the feminine sex in forever.
So you haven't had pussy in a long time?
No.
Okay. Wow.
All right. Yeah. Wow. So
it didn't take long at all. Okay. It was pretty quick.
So what about you?
Well, for me, it actually takes me a long time to finish. And it was really nice for me because, something a lot of people don't know is I have a piercing on my dick.
Your dick is pierced. Wow.
Yes. And so there was some concern with this thing.
Like getting stuck or caught.
Yeah, something like that, interfering.
Right.
But it did.
Piercing, it didn't. It was fine.
Okay. So it took you a long time, and in vanilla, it took you a short amount of time. But it didn't fit on your dick, but it did fit on your dick. Correct? Did it?
I have a small penis.
I didn't imply that.
Oh,
I do not know.
I'm not saying it correctly. It fit. It stretched. Obviously, it's made out of the latex or silicone or whatever. Silicone. It was very awkward.
So he said he just got it on the head of his dick. So.
Pretty much that was.
So we need to investigate that a little bit further. penis sizes are important around here.
But both of you say that it did the job, right?
It did the job.
Yes.
And you would say, I mean, you say that Vanilla Wilson, you say that it's awkward, but do you think that it was pleasurable despite being awkward or not?
Yeah, what's awkward?
For me personally, because I look at the whole thing, you know, spending how much these are individually.
Right.
Is it worth it? Not to
right.
me.
And you're one and done on these, by the way. You use them and then you tell us.
Right.
So was it awkward that you're doing something different or unusual than normal because you're vanilla? Or?
It was very awkward. No. It was just to play. How am I going to say this?
It was unusual to use a device.
Well, yes. But also, I guess to get any type of sensation for me to with in the with stuff this. And all the it just right. it was very awkward.
All right.
So what if you had assistance? Like what if someone else used it on you? You know, you think that would work better?
Actually yes. I think that would be
oh, that's
quite a bit.
That's
quite
cool.
a bit better.
Okay.
All right. Well, I guess that always would be better. What do you think about that?
Well, I actually did have participation when I used it.
Oh, cheated. I see.
Yes, that's because I am a cheater. A cheat, by the way, is a loser's word for clever.
Excellent point.
Wow.
Excellent point.
Wow.
So,
I see.
In my case, it was used to finish after sex.
Wow. Okay. So well, there's lots of uses for this, apparently. Your partner can use it on you, and you can put it just on the head of your dick or whatever. But it gets the job done. I guess it's the general, you know, outcome of what we...
Kilt Guy, would you say that it was better than if maybe you'd used your hands with no lubrication or something? Or I mean, what?
No
lube? On the scale, what do you think it's...
Versus bare hand, I would say that it was better.
It blows up like a
balloon. Wow, Zoe, that's fantastic. Wow. You're blowing up the egg like a balloon.
She's blowing up the egg. It's.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Keep on.
It's kind of cool, actually.
Didn't really know that would happen, but I didn't mean to interrupt
you. It's like a heart-shaped balloon. Wow.
Oh, and it stretched it. Okay, so it's better than your hand with no lube.
Well, it's better than bare hand. It's not even in the neighborhood of being as good as an actual pussy.
All right, well.
Oh, wow, I'm so glad to hear that. What do you think about that, Vanilla?
I don't remember what a real pussy was like. So. I'm going to have to say sure. It's got to be better. Yeah.
So we'll give the egg on a scale of 1 to 10, we'll give it a rating of, guys, all collectively, Dirk, you all three have used it. Y'all are all weirdos. So tell me, 1 to 10, what do you place it?
I don't know, 7.
7.
Vanilla? I'd put it at about a 5.
6-ish, probably.
Well, that's a pretty good rating. I mean, you know, it's not sandpaper, and it's not that.
It's definitely not sandpaper.
It's not the fleshlight.
Right.
I like that one of those. Right. Well, I'll try it on my penis later.
Well, we want to thank Tinga for hooking us up with this. It's the Tinga egg. If you're interested in the Tinga egg, please go to www.tinga-global.com. That's TENGA-global.com. And you can always go to our website and check that out. We appreciate them sending some of these so that we can do this little routine. We want to thank Vanilla Wilson.
Yeah, I'm so proud of you. I mean,
for doing this. Wow. He is Vanilla, and he's on a talk show talking about his...
Talking about jagging off.
His schween.
I know. Can we, like, see that one of these days, you know? Just for you know, medical purposes.
One of these days.
All right. We'll have to ply him with some Patron or something.
And Kilt Guy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, Kilt Guy. He'll probably show his to anybody, so I don't care.
That's the rumor.
Thank you, guys. Very much.
You're welcome.
It was my pleasure.
Literally.
It really was.
The Fetish Show, exclusive interview.
Today we are talking with the founder of Skin 2 magazine, Tim Woodward. Welcome to The Fetish Show.
Welcome. Hi. How are you? What time is it where you are?
It is 8 p.m., just a little before dinner and a glass of wine.
Oh, very nice.
Well, thank you for spending this time with us. We appreciate
that.
Sure.
Skin 2 magazine, or Skin 2, is a lot more than just the magazine. Tell us about all of the things that you do under the Skin 2 banner.
Okay, well, Skin 2 started out as a club in a little basement in London. I did not start it. I was there on the second week, I think. I read about it in the paper. And I was too nervous to go unless my pal Julie went with me. I couldn't go on my own, you know. And this was in 1983, when I guess you wouldn't even have been around. And so the two of us went. Julie got a cat suit and I got a load of rubber, and we went to this basement. And I think it was the first fetish club in the modern sense. People have always been tying each other up and dressing up in leather and stuff like that, but in the modern kind of way, that was the first fetish club. And after a couple of weeks, somebody said to me, "You work in publishing and media, don't you? Well, you know, why don't we have our own magazine?" Because there was porn, you know, but there was nothing that was really for us fetish BDSM people, just kind of crappy porn. And I'd had a beer, you know, and I said, "Yeah, we'll have a magazine." And the next morning, you know, I woke up and thought we had a magazine. And then since then, we started doing bigger events. And the guy who founded Skin 2 worked in children's TV. And so you can imagine when the National Enquirer type press got hold of it, right. Children's TV star, you know. So they said to him, "Look, you can continue with your career on this very successful TV channel in London, and you can have a Porsche and a lovely flat and be famous and whatever, a TV star, or you can do this kinky fetish club, you know." So he was out of there. So I kind of ended up running the club and the magazine. So then it was two things, the club and the magazine. And one of my colleagues said, "Well, we ought to do something big, you know, not just be a couple of dozen perverts in a little basement," which was fun, you know, but something big. So we had the Skin2 Rubber Ball, which was the first of the really big international. People flew in from America, all over Australia, Hong Kong, all over the place. 2,000 or 3,000 people. I think our record was 3,200 and something people. Wow. It was on TV and everything. So the whole fetish scene changed. So now we do the magazine, the events, and we run a website, skin2.com, which is like an online magazine.
And clothing, and I guess.
Clothing.
Yeah.
As well. We made one film so far, which I'm pleased about. And we make clothing. And then I send out a regular newsletter. So if you're living in Oklahoma, or if you're living in Timbuktu, you could be in the middle of Africa, it doesn't matter. You can get my newsletter, which comes out every month, and you feel connected. So we do those things.
Wow. That's quite a resume there. I have a question for you. I want to know, what is the biggest hurdle in starting the magazine, from the beer that you're drinking to saying, yeah, let's start a magazine, till it's in print, that first edition? What was the biggest hurdle you had to come over or get over?
I guess the biggest hurdle wasn't at the start, because it was just 16 pages, and we just printed 1,000 of them, and it was just for ourselves.
Right.
The people went to the club one just to keep going, and the ads were just given away to people and craft workers and people who make BDSM gear. So that was just a bit of fun. But the biggest hurdle came a little bit later, when we started printing thousands and thousands of them. And that's still a hurdle now, which we always have difficulty with. It's selling the ads in the magazine, because fetish businesses are right. small. They're not very profitable.
That's right.
Try and find a Bill Gates in the fetish world, you know, someone who's made a real success. There's hardly any, you know. So making it commercial is a real problem. I reckon that I earn maybe a quarter of what I used to earn before I did Skin2, a quarter or a third, something like that. So that's your hurdle, making it into a proper business that'll feed your family and put food on the table.
Wow.
How has the fetish community changed in the last 30 years?
It's changed a heck of a lot. The main change, I guess, was that back in the 80s, there was a big camaraderie about it, which was the good thing, but it was really, really underground. Whereas now, you could really take your mum and dad to a fetish club, kind of, you know.
Yes.
In the early days, it was really seen as something terrible, you know, like you might be exposed in quote marks in the cheap press for being a terrible pervert and all that. Whereas nowadays, you see it on the catwalks, Paris fashion, all that. You know, I've done events at Sydney University in Australia, not in a little club in a little back street, but at Sydney University, the main Australia's main university. So that's the biggest change. It's come out of the closet to a great extent.
Well, you were fetish before fetish was cool, I guess. So I guess you probably had a lot in shaping what it is today.
Yeah, it was all a surprise to us. You know, I had no idea. We just did it because we liked it. And people kept kind of contacting us. And we took it out of just kinky sex. I mean, kinky sex is where our hearts lie, you know. If I had to choose between art and sleaze, I would always choose sleaze. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with me. But it was kind of fun that people from the world of art started contacting us. You know, we've done concerts with a string quartet and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
And that's cool, you know.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah. It's all about, you know, hey, look, it's not just a load of weirdos, you know, we're normal folks, we enjoy normal stuff.
Tim, what does the name mean? What does Skin2 mean?
What the name means is that it's like a second skin. Like you might be an accountant, you might be a DJ, you might be a truck driver, but in the dictionary, I think it's the Oxford Dictionary or Chambers Dictionary or one of those well-known dictionaries, they have different definitions. And skin, definition two, is second skin, your alter ego. So as
cool.
A woman, you could be taking the kids to school, you could be shopping in the market and all that, and that by all means is a true identity, that's who you are and everything, but you might well have a second skin. You could absolutely be tied up in the garage over the weekend when the kids aren't there, or, you know, and that's a whole other identity. So it's a second skin.
So we'll have to look that up in our American English Dictionary, see if we don't see that there too.
That was the theory.
That's really cool.
That was the idea.
Cool definition. Thank you.
Hey, Tim, where are the wildest parties?
Oh, goodness.
At your house?
Depends how you define wild. I mean, the kind of more out there ones. Maybe in Germany they have the castle parties. My pal Rene, who organizes the German fetish ball, I never miss it. He also has these parties in German castles, or schlosses, as they call them.
Oh, wow.
They're fabulous, elegant, hundreds of years old parties. Very limited number of people, all elegantly dressed. So if that's your definition of wild, then that would suffice. Or there are parties in Paris, which are very elegant, in very ritzy surroundings, everybody beautifully dressed. And if you're sitting at the table, you're having lovely food, fine wine, you, Dirk, as a man, would be dressed in evening suit, all that kind of stuff, women in long gowns. And Dirk, if you need to go to the men's room, you go to the men's room, just like you would at your own house. However, if a woman needs to go to the girls' room, servants bring in a silver platter and she goes to the men's room right there. That's kind of...
Wow.
So it kind of depends what you mean. And there, over here in Britain, there's a kind of a little marriage going on now between the swinger scene and the fetish scene.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that here somewhat. Have you done?
Yeah.
You kind of
absolutely,
see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, up till now, the two swingers would say, oh, those weird kinky fetish people, you know, they spank each other. That's weird. And fetish people would say, those swingers, they have sex with other people, not their partners. That is strange. I don't want to have anything. But there's kind of a bit of a marriage going on. Like 2 days ago, I was at a BDSM fetish club in the city of Sheffield, which is one of our kind of industrial, rather dark industrial cities. It ain't exactly San Francisco, you know, it's a kind of a grimy industrial city. And they have a club there where it's fetish on one floor, swingers on another floor. You know, you could be a one-legged lesbian, you know, playing the Scottish, fine, whatever, you know. It's kind of melding into one a little bit.
We are definitely in the middle of the Bible Belt. I believe I'm the only practicing professional dominatrix in the entire state that I'm aware of. And I don't mean to discredit anybody if that's not the case, but I don't know of anyone else. And most people that don't know it right off, they think I'm a prostitute or an escort. So it's a big thing to overcome being in the Bible Belt.
I mean, I have a lot of friends who are professional dominatrixes, and I like to joke with them. I call them hookers, but, you know, they... They take it from me because they're my friends, you know, but they get really indignant and they say, we're not hookers, you know. It's kind of becoming now an acceptable thing being a dominatrix. Like two guys like Dirk and I might go and play golf together, or we might go fishing together or something like that. But it's now coming to a point where, Zoe, if you have a husband, I don't know if you do, the husband might say, oh, look, honey, I'm going to be a little late today. I'm going to go to a dominatrix, going to have some fun, you know. Just a little hot, you know, like he would say, I'm going fishing or I'm going to see the guy play pool. And it's kind of getting there. And a pioneer of that is my closest buddy called Jailbait Jackson.
What a
who
name.
Who runs DDI magazine, Domination Directory International.
Yes, I've been in there before.
Yep, he's my best pal in the world. And I have his latest magazine right here.
And
yeah, I do. I have it right here. Here, I'll hold it up for
all
you.
All right.
And really, you can tell your bank manager, you can tell your kids if they're over a certain age, that you're a professional dominatrix now. That's really new in the last 10 years.
I don't know that that's the case or not, but I take your word for that. And I certainly don't have any problem telling anybody unless I think that it may offend them in some way. However, it's not very accepted, I don't feel. In my local community, as far as if you're not on the fetish scene or into BDSM,
mm-hmm.
but anyway, at any rate,
you have dignitaries from Oklahoma there. I bet you have people like the police chief and the mayor and all those kind of people coming around. Maybe with a false mustache or something. Yeah.
Well, maybe if I don't, I better look into that. Well, I want to come to one of these balls and one of these events that you're putting on. When are you going to be back in Atlanta, did you say?
We've just had one, and the guy who does the Atlanta balls for us, Jason, he runs Secret Room, and we've been doing that for 8 years now, and the information is all in my newsletter. So it's free, incidentally. It doesn't cost a bean. So if people go to skin2newsletter.com, they get a little letter from me maybe once a month with all this kind of stuff. Not just about skin too, by any means, you know, stuff like what's happening. Oh, things like there's a big event in Paris, Daimonia, coming up. One I really recommend. A lot of Americans come over. Two hot cities in Europe at the moment. I mean, I'm a Londoner, so I love London, but two hot cities at the moment, Berlin and Barcelona.
Cool.
Quite a few Americans like to visit because it's really just fun, and it's way different from the USA. Berlin and Barcelona. Coming up now, Barcelona Fetish Weekend, German Fetish Ball. You can get all this information on the SkinToo newsletter because we're all friends and we promote each other's events, you know.
Cool.
I get a lot of information off of your website. You guys put out some amazing photos just out for, I mean, just drop by the SkinToo website. What's the address for that?
It's skin2.com. And when I say skin2, I mean S-K-I-N, like skin on your body, then T-W-O, not the number two. It's S-K-I-N-T-W-O, skin2.com.
You promote the events. You also have models on there that you profile and photographers and different things that are happening. I would highly advise everyone to drop by there to get some news and some coverage that you're probably not going to get almost anywhere else.
And if someone has an event, can they send you the information and you?
Oh, you bet they can. Okay. We get a lot of event information from all over the U.S. You know, there's a lot happening in the U.S. I mean, Texas isn't exactly on your doorstep, I know, but Texas Latex Party is pretty cool. And down in Florida, there's a really, really good one. Fort Lauderdale in Florida, there's one called Fetish Factory. I've been to that two or three times. It's really good. So I give out information for all these guys because, you know, we're all friends, and they use SkinToo as a sort of central clearinghouse to post up their events.
I've seen a few trends lately in that. Athens, Greece. I have a home in Greece. I used to live there for quite some time. And when I was there, there was absolutely nothing. But now, I've been gone for 3 years. And I've seen, like, in the last couple of years, there's some stuff going on in Athens, fetish-wise. And it seems like, and maybe you can tell me if this is accurate, that the Canadian fetish community seems to be really live and well. However, I'm not really sure how to reach it because I've tried to get into Canada, and it's a process to do, so it's not exactly...
Oh, well, I can tell you about that. I mean, the Greeks have massive financial problems at the moment.
Oh,
so
yes, they do.
A backseat. But there is a small fetish scene there, and a big international group called Torture Garden occasionally do events there. But there's nothing happening in Greece right now because they have pressing problems. However, Canada... I would really, really recommend to Americans, because weird though it may sound, there's not that much happening in New York. So there's a bit, but not a whole lot. There are a few clubs in New York. So if you look at the industrial north of the USA, you look at New York, you look at Boston, you look at Detroit, you look at Chicago, where the heck do all the people go? They go to Canada, that's where they go, because it's just a tiny hop over the border. It's nothing, you know? I mean, you could just about walk from Detroit to Canada.
That's true.
And there are great events in Canada. Montreal Fetish Weekend, fabulous. And Northbound Leather in Toronto. It's absolutely worth going to those. The Canadians are noted for their friendly attitude, very relaxed, very liberal. You can do what you like. You know, it's very, very civilized. So it's absolutely full of New Yorkers, Chicago people, Detroit people. Bit of a hop for Oklahoma, I know, but worth
That'd be okay, though. Did you ever think that it would become what it is today? I mean, maybe that was your plan in the beginning or not, but could you have fathomed it back then, what it is now?
I had no idea at all. So, I mean, really, we just produced it for a bit of fun because I worked in publishing before and it was just a fun project. It cost me $1,000, which I just paid out of my back pocket to produce a few issues of this little black and white magazine. My girlfriend sold it to a few people at the club, and we had no idea, but then people popped right out of the woodwork and we discovered that there was a whole scene. It felt like we'd put up a little flag without noticing it. And suddenly people came right out of the woodwork and rallied to the flag and said, hey, you know, we've got a band with fetish influence, or hey, we're into Japanese rope bondage, or hey, we make rubber clothes. And I was overwhelmed. And so we did a second issue of the magazine, and now we're on the 62nd one.
Did you have any, were there any predecessors, or did you have any role models when you started out? I know, like, if I wanted to start today, I would look at you, SkinToo. I would look at Von Gutenberg or some of these other people that have established, you know, fetish magazines in that niche. Did you have anything like that when you started out?
Yeah, I sort of did. He's dead now, but he was elderly at that time. There was a guy called John Sutcliffe, and he was Second World War hero. He flew bombers over Germany for the Royal Air Force, and a lovely guy, a real gentleman. And he, later in his life, made fetish clothing. His company was called Atom Age, and he made lovely sort of 1950s leather cat suits and rubber cat suits and all that, including outfits for the Royal Opera House, for like Wagnerian operas where they needed leather costumes and all that. And he produced little magazines, little rubber fetish and leather fetish magazines. And he was hounded by the police and the press under censorship laws. He was arrested for possession of obscene material.
Wow.
And, you know, it was such a sad thing. Later he died. Now, I always had a fancy that kind of the stresses and strains of being arrested and prosecuted for possession of pornography kind of helped him towards his heart attack and death. And I kind of feel myself and my friends and colleagues carry a torch, you know, for him, and we're like standard bearers. You know, he was such a nice man.
Wow. Wow. When that couldn't have been pornography, it could have only been fetish art or fetish photos or whatever, dictation or however you say it, of the fetish community. So I can't imagine what that would have been like to be prosecuted like that.
Yeah, I mean, it really happens. There are still parts of the world, you know, parts of the Middle East where censorship is incredibly strong, you know?
It's alive and well here, too. I have a friend of mine who owns an adult store, and she said, be prepared to be arrested. She's been arrested several times, and she said, and I didn't do anything. I didn't have any pornography. I didn't have any of those things, she said. So be prepared if you're going to step out there to...
A lot depends on what you call pornography.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, people tied up and people spanking each other and that kind of stuff, I would call that just, you know, good, healthy enjoyment of your sexuality between consenting adults. But you just twist a few little words and it's, you could use the words like violence, you know, violence against women and this kind of thing, which suddenly sounds kind of had a nasty tone to it. But I was interviewed by one journalist who looked at me in a serious way, you know, across the table and said, so Tim, you get sexual pleasure from hitting women, do you?
Oh, wow. And
I thought, you know, in a funny way, I can see why someone would think like that. Of course, you know, and I know it's not like that at all. You know, as a dominatrix, you would know perfectly well that,
absolutely,
that guys... Yes. Of course, the guys come to see you, they really enjoy it, they don't really get hurt in any serious way at all,
no.
It's just role play. But to the ignorant, you know, can look bad.
You said that you had issue number 62 heading over to the United States right now. Where could you pick that up?
The easiest way to get it, in fact, is just to get it direct from us, skin2.com, and then click on there and we will post it to you. Because if you were to ask me a particular store in the state of Oklahoma, in the state of Ohio, or somewhere like that, I really couldn't tell you off the top of my head. A big distribution company distributes thousands of them all around, but I wouldn't know in which particular store, except in a few big cities like New York, I could reel off the names of a couple of stores, or Los Angeles, I could think of a couple of stores. But in the U.S., a lot of people live in states like Oklahoma, which cover thousands and thousands of square miles, and there are not that many cities. So we always encourage people, if they say, where the heck can I get it? I always say, just click on skin2.com, follow the link, and we send it to you.
Are there any other links that you'd like to tell people to get the promotion out to?
Yeah, skin2.com is the main one. Get the newsletter at skin2newsletter.com. As I say, that's free, and it's like getting a long letter from a friend. You know, it's very personal. It's just stuff I recommend. You might not like everything that I recommend. If I recommend a party in Australia, it's no good if you live in Oklahoma. But I cover the globe, you know. And then clothing, skin2clothing.com. We make our own kinky clothing and all that. So anything with skin2 in it, you can. The main one really is skin2.com. That's like a hub. Go anywhere from there.
We're trying to really bring the fetish community and the BDSM community and present it in a positive light, and you know, be the voice for people that maybe are the smaller vendor or has written a book that, you know, it's not really mainstream or whatever. And as somebody who is kind of in the same field that we are as far as the fetish community, do you have any advice for us or what you would like to see us cover or do or what would make it something more interesting for you that you would like to hear or see us cover?
Well, one thing occurs to me. Why don't you let us feature you on skin2.com? Why don't you send us a whole lot of publicity about the fetish show, and then we can put a little box on skin2.com and say, hey, there's this internet radio station and on all that kind of stuff, because it's very important that we all work together.
Yes, sir, I believe that's truth.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you. We would love to do that.
Yeah. After this interview, we should be in contact with each other, and we should put a little box on skin2.com about your radio show and tell the world. I always say to people, think of the gay community. The reason they've made such great strides in the last 20 or 30 years, and now they're organized and they're respectable,
that's right,
and there's not so much discrimination against them, is because they all work together.
That's right.
That's very true, and you're absolutely right. We could learn something from the gay community, who sees that, you know, together they're a lot stronger than if they, you know, go into factions and worry about their own stuff.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
So we should cooperate. Yeah. We should have a link to you.
That's so exciting. I'm so excited. Thank you. I'm sorry. That's just really cool. We're gonna be on their website.
I know, that's awesome. And listen, that's kind of a big dream come true from a kinky boy from Oklahoma, who was introduced to the fetish world back maybe over 20 years ago by picking up an issue of Skin 2
in Texas. I might add.
In Texas, yeah, I picked it up in Texas and thought, wow, there's this whole world. I mean, you know, I've dreamed about this, and there's this whole world out there that, you know, I want to get involved with and stuff. So, you know, thanks to you for doing what you do.
See what you created. See?
But it's just a joy when people say things like that to you, you know, that someone has gone into some store and they thought, oh, this is probably a porn magazine. I bet it's, you know, pretty crummy. And they pick it up and they think, wait a second, it's actually real. These people are not just porno fake people. They really exist, and there are clubs you can go to, people you can meet, kinky products you can buy. There's a whole world. Again, pretty much like the gay scene, you know? You discover people that are like-minded, and you find that you fit in just fine. And you're not some kind of weirdo that you might have thought you were, or that others might have thought you were. You're absolutely fine. There's a whole load of us, in quote marks. There's a whole load of us. We're old, young, black, white, all kinds, you know, gay, straight, whatever. And that's a nice thing to discover.
Yes, it is. I spend a lot of time helping my clients have acceptance of self. So I think that that's an awesome undertaking in life. So thank you for what you do. And
mm-hmm.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed by you, and I'm glad that we got to meet you. I hope that I get to run into you in person, though.
I'm sure you will. Yeah, look me up when you come to London.
I will. I will do that. So don't say that unless you mean it, because I'll be looking you up.
Yeah.
Well, we've been talking with Tim Woodward, who is the founder of Skin 2 Magazine. Thanks for being on the show.
Okay, thank you.
Thank Tim Woodward for his interview.
No, I want to thank him.
All right, well, go ahead.
I want to thank him more than you.
Have at it.
Thank you. What an awesome, really awesome interview. And not only that, I thank you for just spending time with us, talking to us. It's good just to meet him. He's an interesting guy. So
very interesting guy. That guy has been to more parties and met more people and done more stuff than anyone that maybe we've ever talked to.
And he does a really good interview, too, man. He's like, he doesn't have to sit and think of, like, for a long time like I do if someone asks me a question. He's, like, right there with the information. So I'm very open. I found him to be very genuine.
I don't know necessarily what I expected, but, man, I was really impressed with him.
You know what you expected.
I thought he was really cool.
You didn't expect him to be that cool, I don't think.
Well, I mean, you never know about this stuff. I mean, people who are in the community, I mean, he's been around for a long time and stuff. But, man, what a fascinating story, and what a really, really cool guy.
I'm so happy to have made his acquaintance, and I hope that we get to meet him in person sometime soon.
I didn't really get to talk about this during the interview. I just want to say this. Back when I was 18 or 19 years old, I picked up my first issue of Skin 2 magazine.
So it's basically his fault that you are the way you are
today. Kind of, yeah. I looked back. They have an archives on the Skin 2 website where they have every issue scanned into the system and available to you, mm-hmm. which is cool. The issue that I picked up, I looked it up. It's issue 10
really?
Of Skin 2 magazine. Oh, wow. It was that long ago. And, you know, when I picked that thing up, I mean, before then, I'd seen some movies and television shows and stuff. But, man, to see that this whole world was out there with all these people running around in latex and leather and dominatrix and the music and the community and all that sort of stuff, it really, really opened my eyes to what was out there.
Apparently, he was a forerunner.
Yeah.
Because he had no examples to go by as far as, you know, a magazine or a periodical.
Absolutely.
So, and what he did have, it was interesting as well, but it wasn't in the form that it's in now. So.
Right. I mean, this was, for all of you millennials out there, this is before the internet, where you can dial all this stuff up and you can find out all the, I mean, anything, you know. Two girls, one cup. I mean, whatever you want is out there for you.
Don't believe everything you see on the internet.
Well, no, that's true, too. That's true, too. But, yes. I mean, prior to the internet, there wasn't anything except this magazine.
And I remember how I first felt whenever I connected with some things. I thought, okay, it has a name. It has a, you know, this feeling or this thought has a definition. So it's a, like an eye-opening experience, you know, whenever that happens. So.
It really is, absolutely. So anyway, thanks again to Tim. He's really awesome.
So yes, thank you, Tim.
I want to say that we had a segment about dealing with your vanilla life versus your kink life, and we went long on this one because we had a long interview. So anyway, what I want to do is say that we're going
to
be doing it the next time around.
Yes, and expand.
So that we can actually explore it. Correctly,
because
otherwise we're
going to
kind of wedge it in there and stuff. Yeah. It would be much better to spend some time.
So that's going
to
be good. You know, like don't put somebody naked in your back seat and ride around.
Right, and duct tape.
It might not be wise.
Right. You might look
at daycare center and pick up the kids.
Right. You might look into that.
Yeah.
That might be something you should consider.
Keep it separate from your personal life.
Perhaps. Perhaps.
Anyway.
We also want to thank Tinga. For setting us up
yes,
with those eggs and with allowing us to do a little demonstration, not a demonstration, but a review with Vanilla Wilson with Kilt Guy.
Vanilla Wilson. Every time I look at him now, I think, oh my God, he was just.
I know. He had his,
Tinga
he had
out
his
over there.
Thing in that.
Oh my God. I just don't know if I view him the same anymore. He's tainted now.
Wow. He is tainted. We're tainting him as we speak. speaking of Vanilla Wilson, I also want to say that. Thanks for being our engineer. We appreciate that. And also to Mia Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mia. And thank you,
Jay Grimm and Jay.
Yes, all right, guys.
Our staff, thank you all for all of the help that you do.
Now y'all get busy and do more stuff.
did you hear that? Did you hear her just crack that whip right there?
We're starting, you know, the magazine now, so we're going to have to get on it.
We do. That's important.
Yes, it is. So there you go.
All right. Well, we would like to invite everyone to drop by our website, which is thefetishshow.com. You can also dial us up, 1-888-506-0221.
And that number again is?
1-888-506-0221. That's a toll-free hotline. You can leave a message. No one's going to answer the phone.
Damn it.
We want to hear from you. Also, you can email us at info@thefetishshow.com. Do you have anything to add, Princess Ella?
Yes, if you would like to call that number and someone answer the phone, leave me a message. Maybe I'll consider that. Maybe we'll set up something to where you can call in for this particular time frame and I'll answer the phone.
Wow. We could get some a lot of takers on that.
I don't know.
To
we'll see.
Talk to you personally.
We might see what happens.
Well, that's a pretty good incentive.
We'll see. But they first have to call this number and say they want that.
Fair enough. I think that's good.
All right.
Well, thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. For Princess Zoe, this is Dirk Hooper saying, dream hard.
Thanks. for listening to The Fetish Show. We are always looking for interviews with kink industry performers or BDSM lifestyle leaders. We review toys, books, and appear at events. If you have fetish news, or if you are an erotic artist or writer, then we may be interested in featuring you. Get in touch with us now at info@thefetishshow.com or visit our website, thefetishshow.com.